I love adventure, but there's something that I'm looking forward to. And I love this life. I love life. I love living. I want to live it to the fullest. But there's something inside of my spirit that longs for my home. It longs for heaven. And, you know, Paul said, hey, it's far better for me to go there than to be here. But I need to be here for the rest of you guys. But there's this far betterness that happens in this place called glory, this place that's supposed to be our home. And I want to talk about it this morning for a few, the message here. I want to talk about this aspect of being glory bound. We've been talking about glory. Our theme for the year is the glory is great. Let's investigate in 21:8. Let's investigate the things of God. Let's investigate and let's get deeper into the things of God and understand this aspect of glory. The last couple of weeks we talked about what is glory. Glory is the essence of God Himself. It's God is love. God is also glory. There is no glory. Glory doesn't exist apart from God Himself. And it's the godness of God is this glory. It's who He is. It's what He is. And we realize that He doesn't share it, but we get the opportunity to reflect it. That He pours it out upon us, but we don't get to absorb it. We reflect it back to Him. It comes from Him. It's for Him. It goes out from Him and back to Him. And how do we give Him this glory? You know, it says about give Him glory. How can we give Him something that we don't even have? Something that's already His. But when we ascribe worship and praise and thanks and obedience and just delight in Him, there's an aspect that He receives this glory, this awesomeness, this delight that He has as we give Him all of those. And we talked about where do we see glory? We feel it. We sense it. We sense it when the presence of God shows up. There's something weighty. There's something powerful. There's something ominous. There's something glorious about knowing that God is there and you can feel it. You can sense it. You can understand it because God showed up. And then we find out that that today we behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So let me go on from here. I want to talk about this glory bound, glory bound. God's plan as He created Adam in His image, right? When He created Adam in His image, if He was in His image and God is glory, there must have been a sense of this reflected glory in Adam. He was walking in the presence of God. He was with God. He was reflecting, if you will, God, His glory, and that intertwined the two of them together. Something awesome, something powerful, but something got lost when Adam sinned and fell. We call it the fall because he went from here to here. He lost something. Something that he had is now no longer there. And the aspect of sin doesn't reflect glory, right? So the aspect of, he lost, if you will, this aspect or some reality of this concept of glory, so much so that God actually took him out of his garden and said, you can't be in here. You have to go out. And he put an angel at the guard so he couldn't come back into this beautiful garden that he prepared for him. So man lost this glory, this image bearer, he lost, it got fractured, it got broken, it got busted, it didn't fit right. Something happened with it. He knew, in fact, that he was naked. Before he's just enjoying the glory, and then he realized, hey, something's missing, and I know that I'm undone. I know that I'm naked. I know that something is missing for me. That missing glory changed things. He was removed from the garden. But God replanned, rethought it through, because His design for us is to be that image bearer, to be and understand the image that we possess. And that in that we possess this glory. So his heart was to bring back this powerful thing called the glory of God upon us and to allow us to reflect it. But there was this problem with sin. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came, who died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. He freed us from that darkness so that we could once again reflect, if you will, the glory of God again. So we, as redeemed creatures, as redeemed, as those that had sinned but had their penalty paid for and now redeemed, we now again get to reflect the glory of God. We're back to that, but there's something more yet to happen. And this concept called glory, as we know that we're bound for something more. Let me just talk this a little bit. God has a plan for us to live in His glory forever. His glory forever. His glory now that we have is in part. We have it, but it's not complete. But then, there's going to be an aspect of this completeness, this then, this in heaven. I believe there's something more. I do know for something more because look at your body right now. We get old, we get gray haired, we need healing for certain stuff. That doesn't happen in heaven. There's an aspect of glory that happens that changes us. It transforms us. It makes us glorious. A couple of points here. We are called and enabled to live in glory because of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is what enables us to even get back into the glory game. We lost it, folks. Sin devastated us, but what Christ did for us gave us and put us back into this game. Back into the aspect of being able to reflect the glory of God. But it's because of the gospel we can obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, glory costs, but it's worth the expense. We think sometimes, well, I'm just going to step into glory and I'm just going to reflect His glory and everything's glorious. Let me read Romans 8, starting at verse 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Oh, awesome. Not with an E, but with an H, right? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If. Whenever you see an if in the Bible, circle it because there's a condition. You have to do something in order for this to happen. If indeed we, say it with me, with Him. How many people like the S word? No. Even though it's six letters, it feels like a five-letter word. Suffer. What? If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be, say it with me, glorified together. There's this aspect of suffering and glorification that what? My mindset sometimes just thinks, well, glory is just everything positive, everything wonderful, everything radiating, everything just great. But He says there's something here about suffering that brings us this aspect of glory. If you think about it and you go back to Christ, Him suffering on the cross brought us glory, did it not? The most glorious thing that Jesus Christ did for you was to suffer for you. To take the penalty of your sin. That is awesome. I'm not saying that we need to suffer for sin or to suffer to pay a penalty like Christ did. I'm trying to say that in that suffering that He did, there was this aspect of glory that in the suffering that we go through, the obstacles, the problems, the issues, the stuff of here, somehow God uses it in such a glorious way that He ties them together. That if we're willing to suffer, we may also be glorified together. For I consider, I love this part. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, think about whatever you're going through, The sufferings of this present time are not worthy. It's just so far beyond it to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That suffering reveals inside of us a glory from God. I love this comparison here. If we're talking about a scale of 1 to 10, if suffering is a 5, then glory is a 10 million, all right? Glory is a 10. He's trying to get us to understand here. I know what you're going through. I know that's tough. I know. Put up whatever scale you have. But you got to understand that the aspect of the glory that is the result of that is so far beyond. It's senseless. It doesn't even make sense. 5 on a scale of 10 million, does it even make sense? It doesn't even register, does it? A 5 on a, and glory is a 10 million? It just doesn't even make sense. This aspect of glory, it does cost something, but it's worth the expense. It's worth what He's taking you through. It's worth what He's doing. I don't always understand why God's doing what He's doing. It doesn't make sense to me. I just want to... Lord, can this be done now? I'm doing something glorious inside of you. I'm doing something glorious inside of you. I'm doing something glorious inside of you that when you get to the end and when you get and you see what's going to happen and you see what I'm doing, you're going to look at it and you're going to go, 10 million, 5? Oh my gosh. This was so worth it. Oh my gosh, I thought it was horrific, yet, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I went through it. I'm so glad I went through it. It was absolutely so insignificant. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered, say that with me, a while. Oh boy. Suffered a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Suffered how long? How long is a while? A while. You know what's amazing though? Is that God puts it in perspective for us. Because the definition of this word a while, oligos is what the word is in the Greek. Oligos. Sounds like Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Yeah. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm going through something and it's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost means puny. That's what it means. Puny. In extent, degree, number, duration, or value, it means so small, so tiny, so puny. He's saying, hold on. It's just a puny amount of time. Hold on. You'll suffer a while, but what's going to happen and the result of all of this will blow your mind. Stay in the game. Keep going. Keep moving. He's got something great for you. Not long. It's a short time. You see, there's a prerequisite for glory. It's suffering. There's a prerequisite for glory. It's suffering, but it's just a short while. It's just a short while. The Bible acknowledges that before we enter glory, we may face some obstacles. Before we enter eternal glory, we're going to face some obstacles and a little suffering, a little discomfort is normal and maybe even beneficial. He talks about this fiery trial you're going through. Don't see it as something abnormal, something crazy, something weird. When you're going through, God's going, I'm using that. Oh man, you're going to shine, man. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Now, I have to confess, I don't feel awesome in the midst of it. I don't just go, hey, it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited about this. I'm going, how long is a while? This isn't puny enough. But it's okay. Oh God, I must have done something wrong with this happening. No. God's just growing you. He's glorifying you in the process of it all. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. A glory now as we choose to follow and serve Jesus. And there's a glory later as we are changed fully into His image. And I'll talk about those in a moment. The fullness or completeness of this glory will happen. It'll happen to us in heaven. So much so that they even call heaven glory. Here, in Psalm 73. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon the earth I desire beside you. This glory, this, you see, when we exit this planet and go to the next one, the next life, something amazing happens. We go to this place called glory. Remember I said glory is where you feel and sense and know the presence of God. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we feel it in worship and here and there and things that happen. But throughout the day, sometimes we got to remind ourselves of this glory that's going on. Let me tell you what, heaven, you're not going to have to remind yourself of nothing. You're going to feel, sense, and enjoy these aspects of glory 24/7. And there's not even a 24/7. There's not even time. I don't even know how you, forever. What does that mean? It's a whole new dimension. Timeless. Incredible. Magnificent. Glory forever. His plan. Adam lost it. Christ restored it. Heaven completes it. Glory, man. I can hardly wait to get there. Well, I can wait. In a while. When a Christian dies, he's taken into the very presence of God. The very presence of God. We will be naturally surrounded by God's glory. God's beauty literally resides there. The beauty of the Spirit. He'll be there. And we'll see things in a most magnificent, glorious, and awesome way. You see, there's an earthly glory, but there's a heavenly glory. And this earthly glory is limited by these bodies that we have. Because we're going to have a different body when we reach glory on the other side. In Acts 7, 55 and 56, even Stephen, he's talking about this glory. He sees heaven and he calls it glory. Remember, he's preached a great message from Abraham to Moses and talking about Jesus, but they don't like his message, so they take him to the side and they stone him. And as he's being stoned, he's dying because of the rocks that are hitting him. He's going to die in a moment, and here's what happens. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, oh man, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I've always wondered why Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. And as I look at that, because he's usually talked about how he sits at the right hand of God. But he's standing. I see him as Stephen is taking it for the Lord, and he's preached an awesome message, and he's given his life away for the kingdom of God, and he's full of the Holy Spirit. I see Jesus just seeing what he's doing down there, and he had to get to his feet, and I just see him clapping as he's welcoming him into the glory of God. Giving him a standing ovation as he says, Stephen, great job. Great job. I think even as we endure and go through stuff in this life, Jesus is standing and saying, hey, great job. Great job. Great job. Great job. Great job. Keep on. Keeping on. Keep on. Keeping on. Number four. Glory changes us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding or reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. See, this glory, what is this glory doing to us? What's this glory doing to us as we receive it through Christ in this life? It's transforming us. Transforming us to where? How is it transforming us? How is this glory transforming us? It's transforming us into the same image. Into the same image. Going back to that image that was distorted in the fall is now being reabsorbed, revalued, redone in us. That image of Christ. That image of God that is in us. From glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. From glory, we had a glory, we went through some problems, we've got another glory in Christ, and we're going to glory. You see, from glory to glory, He is changing you. From glory to glory, He is changing you. Why is this happening in my life? Why is that going? Because God is changing you. Why do I feel conviction? Why do I feel a sense of conviction when I do that? I didn't years ago, but now I do. Because God is changing you. Don't get bummed by it. Get glad by it. He doesn't want you to be the same person you were a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 minutes ago. He's changing us. From glory to glory, that reflective glory. The more we reflect, the more we get into His presence, the more that we change, the more we become like Him, the more we're in that image. From glory to glory, He's changing me. How did He change us? I think that first change came with justification. My spirit is saved. It happens at salvation. Justification was the first change that happened in your life. When you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and He came in, He justified you. He made you in right standing with God. He dealt with the sin issues. He changed your spirit. You now have the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity resides inside of you. He justified you. And now your spirit has been redeemed. Your spirit now has the potential to change who you are. The second change that comes with sanctification. Your soul is being saved. Three parts of our body. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit gets saved. Our soul is being saved. That's the things you're dealing with now. Why God is changing me. You feel those changes. You feel those convictions start to set in. You feel a different way, a different process. You process things differently now. Where before you knew the Lord, you process it a certain way. But now, you with the Lord inside of you, you process things differently and you start realizing, I want to change. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a different person. And so He starts changing us. It happens in our soul, our thinking, our mind, our will, our intellect. He starts changing us. And the things that, like I said, were okay, don't seem to be okay. Because He's put a new desire, a new impetus inside of us for something different. And the third change, and that happens throughout a whole lifetime. This third change comes with glorification. My body will be saved. It happens at the end of your life, and I'll talk about that in a moment. This glorification, this body gets changed. Why? I'll explain it in a moment. One like the Lord, this glorified body in the same image. We start off created in the image of God. The fall complicated things. Salvation restored the image, and heaven completes it. Heaven will complete it. We'll be like Him. We'll be conformed to the image in Romans 8, 29 and 30. Conformed to the image of His Son. He says, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. He's saying the process is happening, folks. I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to complete it. I'm going to justify you, I'm going to sanctify you, and I'm going to glorify you. That's what God is going to do with us. And we're in process. And it's awesome. But when does this fully happen? This glorified bodies, I've said it, in heaven. Let's get to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why does He change your body? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood does not inherit heaven. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says this, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is a secret, something he's going to reveal. He's going to reveal something to us, this mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means he's talking about dying and staying dead. We shall not all just stay sleeping, die dead. But we shall all be changed. His whole goal from start to finish is to change you. From glory to glory, he's changing. His whole goal is to change you. Is that you would be different. And he says this ultimate change happens in heaven. We shall be changed. Changed. Some sort of transformation happens to us in going from here to there. When we go to glory, we don't just, hey, we get changed. This flesh and blood can't make it there. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll happen fast at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we, here it is again, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I like the word immortality. It means deathlessness. Deathlessness. You can't die. You can't die. Deathlessness. Heaven is deathlessness. It's a great time to do bungee jumping and things you never wanted to do before. You were afraid of. Oh my gosh, parachute jumping, you know, whitewater rafting. I'm just teasing. Somebody's going to think, what? No, how do we get in the line for the parachute jumping in heaven? No. Maybe. Deathlessness. God has something so powerful for us in this life. He's changing us. But he's got another one that great changes and great benefits and great realities happen. They're absolutely mind-blowing. Heavenly glory changes us. I want to talk about this heavenly glory. I'm talking about the glory of the Lord now. He's changing us from glory to glory. He's changing us. But when we get to heaven, when that glory of heaven hits us, something changes us profoundly. Number one, we go from corruptible to incorruption. Incorruptible. We go from corruption to incorruptible. From sin to sinlessness. From sin to sinlessness. No longer will you be susceptible to sin. Won't that be awesome? There'll be no devil. He's in the lake of fire. He's gone. He doesn't tempt you. There's no temptation. There's no devil. There's no sin. There's no opportunity. There's no desire. There's nothing telling you. Yeah, making you unsatisfied with where you are. Just digging at you, making you unsatisfied. And try that and dig into that and do this sin and take that pill and have that sex. And I mean, there's something always digging into us. Something always saying, oh, it's better over there and try that. And oh, it's going to be good. Oh, it'll be wonderful. Oh, if you only had that, blah, 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 blah. There's none of that. You're in the midst of everything. It's, whoa. What do you want? I can't think of nothing. No sin. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so awesome. No temptation. That's going to be awesome. No temptation, no desire to go astray, no fight, no appeal, no reason. There's just freedom. William Wallace just saying it loud. Freedom. Freedom. Here on earth, it's a fight. It is a fight. We're supposed to fight the good fight. We're supposed to run the race to win. All of those things that talk about the energy and the go after it and let the change happen and keep moving. You get to heaven, there's no fight. The ultimate freedom. There are no bills. There are no lines. Or you don't care that you're in line. There's no marketing calls. There's no rush hour. There's no taxes. There's no sorrow. There's no death. There's no crying. There's no disease. There's no sickness. There's no shootings. There's no darkness. There's no worries. There's no nightmares. There's no frozen pipes. There's nothing bad. You, in heaven, you're never going to... How did you sleep last night? Oh, man, I had this nightmare. You can't say that. There's none. I had this... What do you call a non-nightmare? Dream. Euphoria. I had this awesome dream. This euphoric dream. That I woke up and realized I'm better than that. I was dreaming, I was longing. I said, oh, if I could just... And then I woke up and I realized, oh, wow, that's so beneath me. That's so pathetic. Who would want that when I got this? You got to understand, folks, glory, what God has destined for us, the glory that He wanted us to live in at the beginning, we will live in at the end. And it's going to be awesome. Oh my gosh. Peace, joy. The second thing that heaven, wham, changes us, that glory, when it hits us, boom. This flesh and blood is gone. And we go from mortal to immortal. We live forever. Deathlessness. We live forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There is no more death. Oh, death, where's your sting? You're not even here. Oh, Hades, where's your victory? You threaten me, but I'm here in heaven. I'm here in glory. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. There is no more sin. There is no more law. There is none of that. There is no devil. It's awesome. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He is saying to you, Christian, keep moving, keep changing, keep growing. I've got great things in store for you in this life and in the one to come. But don't stop, don't quit, don't lay down, don't die. Keep moving. Move past it, move through it. Don't move around the problem, move through the problem. Get to the other side. Because I've got something great for you. Great for you. Great for you. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious. This transfer from here to there. This process of transferring from here to there is glorious. On that moment, on that second where you're from here to there is like, it's like Christmas a million times over. It's awesome. Don't be afraid of it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. What happens at death? I don't want to give an extensive thing. I want to talk, I think in fall or spring, I'm going to talk about a series about this whole process of dying and death and what it means. But our spirit immediately goes on to be with the Lord. As soon as you die, your spirit goes on to be with the Lord. There's a resurrection and we are united with our bodies, but not this flesh and blood body, some sort of a glorified body, some sort of an awesomeness that I can't even explain to you. And we'll be judged. There is a judgment, but not judged for sin, judged for, hey, reward. What did you do with your life? The Bible says we have to give an account for what we did. We will give that account. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, but God is saying, give an account. What did you do with what I gave you? And there is an aspect of reward which I don't understand, okay? I don't understand it. I think getting to heaven is just the ultimate reward, but there's an aspect of reward that happens for those who were sold out, that went for it, that I don't know what it means. I don't know what it looks like. I just know that it says it. There'll be an aspect. That's why he says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep moving, keep going. I see, I see, I see what you're doing. But regardless, we'll have heaven and we'll have glory, eternal life, and we'll live forever to be with the Lord. Heaven is beyond description. It's beyond description. We're going to be going home. I love what Billy Graham said. As you know, that Billy Graham passed away here just a few days ago. 99 years old. Whew. He said, "My home is heaven." Billy Graham once said, "I'm just traveling through this world." Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive then than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Into the presence of God. Into the presence of God. You hear about Christians who have this experience where they pass from this life to the next and somehow get brought back, and it's like, oh, bummer. Why did you bring me back? Why did I get snatched back out, back to life in this one? Because there's something glorious about the next. Don't fear it. Don't take it before you're supposed to, because God has too much for you to do right here. But realize that at that moment, I'm going home where the streets are golden. No more death, no more dying, no more crying. It'd be awesome. 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 But you have to be a Christian. Because the reality that I have to preach as a good person of the word, a carer of the flock, is that if you don't know Christ, that is not in your future. If you do not know Christ, you will be judged. You will be raised from the dead. You will be judged. And if you don't know Christ, then you will get what you're asking for, and that is eternally separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that hell. Separated. But you don't have to be there. Not at all. It takes a simple, "Jesus, I want you in my life." Bingo! Jackpot! Heaven bound! Glory to God forever! It changes everything. The night, the moment, the day, the time you got on your knees or stood there or whatever, and in your heart and in your mind or with somebody, grabbed somebody's hand and you prayed a very simple prayer, "Jesus, come into my life." You don't know the half of what you did. You don't know the half of the benefits that are flowing your way in this life and in the one to come. That's why we need to get out there and tell everybody else. We need to tell our friends, tell our neighbors, tell our parents, tell our siblings, tell everybody that you're just a word away, a heartfelt response away from the most glorious thing that could ever happen to you in this life and in the one to come. Let me bring it home with this last thought here about heaven. It's also called the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21. I love this description. You know, it's Revelation, it's the end. It's what's happening at the very end. He said, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." There it is. That's what Stephen saw. Somehow this new Jerusalem, and I don't get it all. I know there's a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Oh, okay. But we get this heaven, this concept of this new Jerusalem, this heaven with the glory of God. And verse 22 says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." It's the housing of where we live. And look at this. "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God," here that is, folks, again, this concept of glory, "illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." My third point about heavenly glory, when it hits us, we go from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality. And we go from illuminated by sunlight to illuminated by the glory of God. Now, this is a concept, I think, beyond what we can even understand here. We go from a sun and all that we see and displayed to us because of the light of the sun to no sun, no moon, and the glory of God illuminates everything. Glory is the eternal radiance of the light of God replacing the sun and the moon forever. And glory will be where we live forever. And glory will be what we see with in heaven. Glory will be what we see with. Come to know things and understand things. Come to see things. Glory will be the aspect of what illuminates it all to us. You got to see that when we look now, and I look at somebody, and I look at my wife, and I see, oh, she's pretty, ooh. And I see her sweater, which is teal. What happens is light emanates and it comes here and it hits the back of my retina and it begins to form an image. And the wavelength of teal moves toward my eye and it tells me that it's teal because that's the wavelength of teal. Women have better responders to wavelengths than men do. Men go, yeah, it's green. Women go, it's a chartreuse, pink, purple, passionate, lemonade, something. So I understand and see her by the light. Light comes off of her. And I pick it up on my retina. You see, when you get to heaven, that light won't be light. It'll be the glory of God that radiates out. And you will recognize and see and understand things and stuff and people and concepts and ideology, everything, by the glory that radiates out from it. Glory. There's no light there other than God. He is the light. Jesus said He was the light. He's the light. We get to heaven, it will be the light. And that light will explain. That light will uncover. That light will transform. That light will empower. That glory from God. It's the greatest adventure you will ever have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for even when we messed up in the garden, you devised a plan. And that, Lord, when we mess up right now, you have a Savior that forgives us, transforms us, and changes us. You're always for us. You're always with us. You're always encouraging us. You're always motivating us. You're always believing in us. Lord, help us to respond even with a greater sense of urgency. As spiritually darkness is getting darker, let the illumination of your Spirit in us, O God, be brighter. We might share with others, Lord, the glory and awesomeness and power and adventure of God Himself. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And we thank you for being so, so, so awesome, Lord. Let your glory shine. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you guys. Love you tons. Appreciate you. Never take for granted at all the privilege that we have to be pastors here and to stand behind this pulpit and to be able to speak to you. Thank you for listening. God bless you.